Board of Supervisors is back in session. We're going to do a little bit of juggling in a few minutes, but at this point in time, we're going to do 8D, County Administrator, County Council.
County Council, Natalie Reed. The county is currently in contract with a law firm of Somaxton and Dunn to provide legal consulting on code enforcement and groundwater matters. And out of an abundance of caution, the law firm is seeking a waiver for any potential perceived conflict from its plan to represent the city of Wairika in a potential real property transaction related to the Fall Creek water right in that watershed. And so at this time, staff has not identified any conflict and would be looking for a motion to waive any potential conflicts due to the dual representation and to delegate authority to the CAO to execute the conflict waiver.
I would motion to approve.
Second.
Call for vote, Wendy.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopstad?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item 8D, presentation of staff summary of legislative items relevant to the board.
Joanne Johnson, project coordinator for Siskiyou County Administration. So I'll begin by sharing that at the board's request, we published a press release and a letter regarding gray wolves in Siskiyou County. So the press release announces a new California Department of Fish and Wildlife pilot program to reduce gray wolf attacks on livestock. Experienced staff will support producers in high loss areas. The board supports the effort, but emphasizes ongoing concerns about livestock degradation. The formal letter was sent to Congressman Doug LaMalfa, requesting his leadership in advancing the federal delisting of the gray wolf. Both the press release and the letters are available on the county website. For today's legislative update, I will cover AB 263 and HR 1, and feel free to jump in with any questions. Starting with AB 263, it was introduced by Assemblymember Rogers and co-sponsored by the Karuk and Yurok tribes. The bill extends emergency flow regulations in the Scott and Shasta River watersheds through January 1st, 2021, or 2031, or until permanent flow requirements are adopted. Following board direction, Siskiyou County has expressed opposition to this bill. The bill was approved in the State Assembly and was ordered to a third reading in the Senate. If approved in the Senate, the bill will likely return to the Assembly for concurrence. Now I'll cover H.R. 1. On July 4th, Congress enacted H.R. 1, also known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. H.R. 1 extends tax cuts for individuals, families, and businesses while implementing new eligibility requirements and reducing funding for Medicaid health care coverage and SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. I'll discuss changes to SNAP first, which is called CalFresh in California. Starting in 2027, California will begin paying 75% of the CalFresh administrative costs, up from 50%. The state splits these costs with counties 70-30. In addition, California may soon be responsible for paying a portion of CalFresh benefits depending on the payment error rate. If California's 2024 error rate of 11% holds, the state could be responsible for 15% of benefit payments beginning in 2027. Also, work requirements for CalFresh were expanded under H.R. 1. Previously required for adults ages 18 to 54, they will now apply to those up to age 64. Moving on to Medicaid.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Go ahead.
Go back to the 70-30 split.
Yes.
What's that? 70 state, 30 county?
That's right.
Okay.
And even with the increase of the 25% additional administrative cost, it'll still be a 70-30 split.
And what is it currently?
So currently, the state splits the the administrative costs evenly with the federal government. So it's 50-50.
Okay.
And then in 2027 is when it'll switch to the state covering 75% and then the federal government covering 25%.
Thank you.
Moving on to Medicaid, changes to Medi-Cal, which is California's Medicaid program, includes a new work requirement beginning in 2027 with income verification every 6 months, the end of automatic re-enrollment, and the expiration of enhanced premium tax credits for covered California plans. According to the California Health and Human Services Agency, these changes could cause up to 3.4 million Californians to lose health coverage, double the workload for eligibility staff, and increase premiums by 66% for those receiving subsidies.
Question.
Yes.
So the end of automatic re-enrollment means that people have to re-enroll every year?
So that's correct, but it'll be moved up to every 6 months that they'll have to re-enroll.
Okay.
Yes.
That's going to mess a lot of people up.
Yes.
Yes. So that alone is expected to
save the state a lot of money.
The federal government.
The federal government,
yeah.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
In Siskiyou County, over 40% of residents are enrolled in Medi-Cal. As some residents lose coverage, local providers, including Siskiyou County Behavioral Health and hospitals, will no longer be reimbursed for the care that they provide to these individuals. Now, there is a federal Rural Health Transformation Fund that is intended to help mitigate impacts to rural health care. However, this funding is currently only available through 2030. So how this funding works is states will apply for it, and 50% will go to states with approved applications, and then the other 50% will be allocated based on percentage of rural residents and rural hospitals. So it'll just depend on the number. And then I reached out to local hospitals for comment on HR1. Fairchild Medical Center anticipates significant cuts to Medicare and Medicaid programs, which make up roughly 75% of its business. Mercy Medical Center in Mount Shasta is evaluating the potential impacts of the legislation, including whether the newly established Rural Support Fund will offset expected losses. Both hospitals noted that the full financial effects on hospital services remain uncertain and will depend on how California responds to the shortfall created by HR1. And this process may take 12 to 18 months to fully understand. So for next steps, the state is awaiting federal guidance on how to implement changes to Medi-Cal and CalFresh. Once received, mitigation strategies will be developed and instructions will be issued to counties. However, as our hospitals have noted, it may take a year or more to fully understand the local impacts. Do you have any questions?
You guys are just full of good news today.
Well, I would have to say that looking at this broad spectrum, it is super hard to gauge, because if you're looking, say that we have 40% and we have, you know, a significant portion of those individuals that are capable of working but are not working, what does that look like if you take those people and, you know, they gain employment because of this, because it's incentivizing work. And then they get, you know, private label insurance. You know, we don't know what that all pans out to be, because everybody's different. You know, everybody's circumstances are going to be different. How many people are going to go through the process to stay on? There's just too many variables here to look at this positively or negatively for me. It's one of those things for me, and I think we're just going to have to see what it looks like at the end of this. So, I'm not gonna get super negative on it until I can see some results.
Quick question. Do you know if there's any rural healthcare infrastructure money in that bill?
Ooh, I'm not sure. I can check on that and get back to you.
Okay.
Anything else?
On addition to that, Fairchild did release a statement saying that they would continue their expansion project as scheduled. So I just wanted to note that.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. Thanks for the happy news. Okay, I see Bernadette in the room, which means we can move forward and help you folks that have been here all morning. We're going to start with some public hearings on the Williamson stuff. Ooh, look at the pile. Good morning, Bernadette.
Good morning.
Let's see. How many folks are still here for Williamson Act? I know there's a few of you. Okay. Do we want to try to do them first?
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure.
So, I see Mr. Langford. Do you know everybody's names? Are you familiar?
I'm not everyone.
I'm Walt Boot.
Okay, Mr. Boot, we could do.
Okay, you want to do.
That's great.
Which one's that one? You're quicker at it than I am. Let's see.
D.
Okay, I see Langford. That's B. So we'll start with. We'll go down the list. And then D is Root. And then who else is here? Anybody else present for Williamson Act? Just those two? Okay, we'll start with B. Okay, so we're going to open the hearing.
For a separate Williamson Act contract for their 690 acres of land, which is only a portion of an existing 1,515.5-acre Williamson Act contract. The project site is located north and east of the city of Montague. They intend to continue the commercial ag use of livestock grazing. During the review of the request, it was found that the subject property is within an ag preserve, which has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. To address this issue, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the subject property and a new preserve created consisting of only this property. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15.7 Open Space Easement and Contracts. Adopt resolutions amending the existing ag preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 690-acre ag preserve. Rescind the property from the existing contract and reissue a single contract for the subject property within the newly established 690-acre ag preserve. Thank you.
Okay. Presentation of correspondence. Is there any in the room?
I received no correspondence for this one in particular.
Okay. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in the room? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in the room? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Public comments? Anyone in the room? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal? Proponents? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by opponents. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
And we're not going to close the hearing because we're going to do...
This one we can close. It was a different one.
Okay. All right, we're going to close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board. No discussion. Entertain a motion.
Make a motion.
Second.
Have a decision.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Howard.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
Aye.
Supervisor Okren.
Aye. One down. Okay, moving on to D.
All right, again, Bernadette Susan, Associate Planner. The Root family has submitted an application for a separate Williamson Act contract for their 1,900 land, which is only a portion of an existing 2,031.9 acres on Williamstown. Project site is located south and west of the community of Gazelle on Gazelle Callahan Road. They intend to continue the commercial ag use of livestock grazing. During the review of the request, it was found that 233-acre portion of one of the 1,360 acre subject parcels is within an ag preserve but not under Williamson Nut contract. The owner issued a notice of non-renewal for this 233-acre portion in 1998. It was their understanding that they could then sell that portion due to financial issues. It was not the case, as this would have created an illegal parcel. A parcel map would have been required at the time to separate that portion of land. The 233-acre portion has continued to remain part of the livestock grazing area of the family ranch. As only portions of parcels should not be under contract, they are requesting the 233 acres be included in the new contract. Additionally, it was found that the subject property is within an ag preserve, which has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. To address this issue, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the property and a new preserve created consisting of only the subject property. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15317, open space easements or contracts. Adopt resolutions amending the ag preserve to remove the subject property, create a new 2,160-acre preserve, rescind the property from the existing contract, and reissue a single contract for the property, including the 233 acres previously non-renewed within the newly established 2,160-acre preserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Presentation or correspondence?
The clerks received one of our public hearing notification letters back as undeliverable, and it's to the USA Public Domain, so I'm assuming that's a federal office. That's the only letter.
Okay. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments or public agencies? Proponents, arguments, and or evidence? Any online?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence? Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comment? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents? Rebuttal by opponents? And we'll close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board?
Question.
Okay.
So the 233 acres is coming into the contract or it's staying out?
They're requesting to include it as it's a portion of the larger legal parcel that's already in.
We're okay with that. Is that correct? Okay, I just want to make sure that it sounded as though they were trying to separate it, but...
Historically, they thought they could.
Okay.
They thought they might need to, but that's not necessary.
Okay, all right, good. Thank you.
Okay, entertain a motion.
I would move to approve.
Second. Okay.
And decision?
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsek.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogre.
Aye. Okay, we'll move back to A. This is for Forest House.
Forest House Ranch LLC has recently acquired 1,660.3 acres of land, which is only a portion of an existing 3,149-acre Williams Nut contract. Pursuant to the county guidelines, they have applied for a Williams Nut contract amendment, which proposes to rescind their property from the existing contract and create a contract consisting solely of property under their ownership. The project site is located south and east of the city of Wairega. They intend to continue the commercial ag use of livestock grazing. During the review of the request, it was found that the property has portions within three different agricultural preserves, each of which has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. To address this issue, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the subject property and a new preserve created consisting of only this property. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15317, open space easements and contracts. Adopting resolutions amending the existing ag preserves to remove the subject property and create a new 1,660.3 acre preserve, rescind the property from the existing contract, and issue a single contract to the subject property within the newly established preserve.
Okay, presentation of correspondence?
No correspondence at the clerk's level.
Okay, presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, or evidence? Any online?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, or evidence? Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comment? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents? Rebuttal by opponents? We'll close this hearing. Discussion by members of the board?
I have a question.
Okay.
So this looks to be what used to be a big piece of Burton Ranch?
Correct.
A big piece of the Burton Ranch?
Yes.
I just curious, Bernadette, when you go through the deliberations with folks, most of this, in my mind, should be TPZ. Why do they choose one over the other?
A rezone project has an added cost, and also working with a professional forester to provide the supporting documents to show that it qualifies for TPZ is another cost.
Mm-hmm.
I think that deters people. But when we do see that, we do let people know that that is an option to do, like we did for the Bennett project, where we did an automatic cancellation with the rezone to TPC. So.
Okay. When I was a forester, I wouldn't want to be in Williams when I want to be in TPC, but that's okay. I'll make the motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Call for vote.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye. Moving on to C. This is Al.
Can you open the hearing?
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to open this hearing.
Thank you, Bernadette Susan, Associate Planner. The Allens have submitted an application for a separate Williams Neck contract for their 160 acres of land, which is only a portion of an existing 1,515-acre Williams Neck contract. The project site is located north of the community of Big Springs on Machado Lane. They intend to continue the commercial use of livestock grazing. During the review of the request, it was found that the property is within an ag preserve, which has property under separate ownerships and, again, not contiguous. To address this issue, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the property and a new preserve created, which consists of only this property. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15317, Open Space Easements and Contracts, adopt the resolutions amending the Ag Preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 160-acre preserve, to rescind the property from the existing contract and reissue a single contract for the subject property within the newly established 160-acre preserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence?
And no correspondence at the clerk's level for this one.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence? Any online?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence? Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comment? Any online?
Showing none online.
Rebuttal by proponents? Online? Rebuttal by opponents? Okay, we'll close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board? Entertain a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? No discussion? Decision?
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Thank you.
Moving on to item E. This is Kofer. And we'll open the hearing.
Thank you. Bernadette Susan, Associate Planner. The Kofers have submitted an application for three separate Williams Neck contracts for their property, which is only a portion of two existing Williams Neck contracts. The property site is located south of the community of Mitchell and east of Highway 97. They propose to create a separate contract for each of the three working ranches they own. Ranch 1 will continue to be used for hay production. Ranch 2 will continue to be used for livestock grazing with hay production. And Ranch 3 will continue to be used for rangeland and pasture for livestock. Each ranch individually meets minimum parcel size, soils equivalent, and commercial ag use requirement. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15317, open space easements or contracts, adopt resolutions amending the ag preserve to remove the property and create an ag preserve of 2,404.6 acres, rescind the property from the contracts, reissue a single contract for each of the three ranches that they are requesting that are within the newly established 2,404.6 acre preserve. Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence.
Yes, the clerk's office did receive some other our notification letters back as undeliverable to Arnold and Marion Hoffman Trust, USA Public Domain, and also Villa Vang. These were all three undeliverable letters.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Any online?
Shown none online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Any online?
Shown none online.
Public comment? Any online?
Shown none online.
Rebuttal by proponents? Rebuttal by opponents. Okay, we'll close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board. Entertain a motion. Chop chop, gentlemen.
Make the recommended motion.
Second.
All right. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ober?
Aye. Moving on to F for Silva. Open the hearing.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. The Silvas have submitted an application for a separate Williamsonette contract for their 501 acres of land, which is only a portion of an existing 1,515-acre Williamsonette contract. The project site is located north and east of the city of Montague, south of Silver Road. They intend to continue the commercial ag use of livestock grazing. During the review, it was found that the property is within an ag preserve that has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. To address this issue, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the subject property and new preserve created. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15317, open space easements or contracts, adopting resolutions amending the existing ag preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 501-acre preserve to rescind the property from the existing contract and reissue a single contract for the subject property within the newly established ag preserve. Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence.
Correspondence. There's no correspondence at the clerk's level for this one.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence.
Shown online.
Okay. Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Any online?
Shown online.
Public comment?
Shown online.
Rebuttal by proponents. None online?
Online.
Rebuttal by opponents. We'll close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board. Do we have a motion?
I'll make the recommended motion.
Second.
Okay. Any decision?
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ober?
Aye. Moving on to G, this is Johnson. Open the hearing.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. Dolores Johnson has submitted an application for a separate Williamsonette contract for over 104 acres of land, which is only a portion of an existing 2,031.9 acre Williamsonette contract. Project site is located south and east of the Weed Airport on Edgewood Road. She intends to continue the commercial ag use of livestock grazing. During the review of the request, it was found the property is within an ag preserve, which has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. To address this issue, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the subject property and a new preserve created consisting of only this property. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15317, open space easements. Contracts, adopt resolutions amending the existing ag preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 104-acre preserve, to rescind the property from the existing contract and to reissue a single contract for the subject property within the newly established preserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a presentation of correspondence?
No correspondence at the clerk's level.
Okay, presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone?
Shonama.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence.
Shonama. Okay.
Public comment.
Shonama.
Rebuttal by proponents.
Shonama.
Rebuttal by opponents.
No.
We'll close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Howell?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbstead?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogre?
Aye. Moving on to item H. This is for Custer. Open the hearing.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. Clint Custer has submitted an application for a separate Williamsnack contract for his 145 acres of land, which is only a portion of the existing 602.7-acre Williamsnack contract. Project site is located south and east of the city of Edna on Highway 3. He intends to continue the commercial ag use of farming hay with livestock grazing. During the review of the request, it was found the subject property is within an ag preserve, which has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. To address this issue, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the subject property and a new preserve created, consisting of only his property. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA, pursuant to Section 15317, open space easements or contracts, adopt resolutions amending the ag preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 145-acre preserve to rescind the property from the existing contract and reissue a single contract for the subject property within the newly established ag preserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence.
Yes, we did have one of our public hearing notification letters returned. No mail receptacle. And this was for Jack A. Jones, trustee. And it was just the one letter.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence.
Shonama.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence.
Shonama.
Public comment.
Shonama.
Okay. Rebuttal by proponents?
Nama.
Rebuttal by opponents?
Nama.
We're going to close the hearing. Discussion by the board?
Move to approve.
Second.
Decision?
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Howell?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbstead?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogre?
Aye. Moving on to item I. For Freedom. We'll open the hearing.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. The Freedoms have submitted an application for a separate Williamsnack contract for their 52.06 acres of land, which is only a portion of an existing 4,945.3-acre Williamsnack contract. The project site is located south and west of the city of Fort Jones on Orofino Road. They intend to continue the commercial ag use of livestock grazing. During the review, it was found that the 52.06 acres does not meet minimum soils equivalent for a Williamsnack contract. Staff discussed this with Mr. Frieden that his parcel does not meet the required soils class equivalent for a separate contract, and should he move forward with his application, staff would recommend denial. Mr. Frieden asked that his application be processed and brought before the board for review. As the property does not meet soils equivalent requirements, staff recommends the board adopt a resolution which directs staff to issue a notice of non-renewal for subject property and determine the issuance of a notice of non-renewal exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15317, open space easements or contracts. Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence.
Yes, the clerk's office did receive one of our notification letters back as undeliverable to USA Public Domain. And also a letter that I did scan an email to the board earlier this, at the end of last week, from Charles Frieden, and just a one-page letter, his comments. He was not going to be able to be here.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, or evidence? Any online?
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, or evidence? Any online?
Showing none online.
Public comment?
None online.
Rebuttal by proponents?
None
online. Rebuttal by opponents?
None
online. We'll close the hearing. Discussion by members of the board.
So, I've got a question. Because this soil, seeing this soils thing's come up a couple times. So how is that gauged?
We use the NRCS web soil survey mapping tool, which provides, it's the standard that our department also uses it, and it tells us the quality of the soil for agricultural purposes. And so depending on the rating of the soils, we calculate that. So we're trying to meet a class 1 or 2 equivalent. So many of the soils are in our area are class 3 or 4. And so depending on if it's irrigated or not, we have to add that into the equation also too. So if it's irrigated, it increases that soil's classification closer to a 1 or 2. And so it's just a process of reviewing it. For example, with Mr. Breeden, I actually had to send him a map and ask him to actually outline areas that were irrigated so I could enter that into the equation so I could get those acreage calculations correct.
Okay, yeah, it just seems interesting, like looking at Breeden's property and then everything directly, like right across the road, is in full production. So, you know, it just makes it seem weird to me that it wouldn't, you know, classify as a ag soils when everything, I mean, it's not like the road right there is the barrier for soils difference. So I don't know, that's just very interesting to me how that lays out. So
I see what you're saying. So basically the hillside area on in the unirrigated areas, if you look at in the Ag Preserve Administrator staff report on page 3, there's the actual chart that we input that data in, and you can see where we sectioned out which acres are considered irrigated. He did explain it was sub-irrigated from a ditch that goes through the property, so he was very helpful in outlining that for us, and then how we convert those the classes. So you can see, like, for example, if it's rated a 148 dry land, it's a ratio of 6 to 1, but if it's irrigated, it's 3 to 1. So it's a significant increase if it's irrigated, if it's actually in ag production where they have water to irrigate. But his is a little bit of a hillside, so that's where we lost that.
Yeah, I see on all next year where it shows custard ditch. So, all right, this might be a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it. So now that we're curtailing folks and encouraging them not to use water, is that going to...
We're not curtailing.
Well, you know what I'm saying, the state. With the curtailments that are taking place, is that going to be affecting people's Williamson because they're not irrigating?
So we, with at the time they submit the application, we utilize the information that they provide. So if the property, if they only have, for example, like Mr. Breeden had... has 50 acres, if the whole entire thing was irrigated, he maybe could have qualified. Actually, I don't think he would have qualified even then. But let's say someone has 100 acres and it's not very good soils and it would need to be irrigated, and then they got their water cut off and there's no potential for irrigation, they likely wouldn't qualify for a summer contract.
Okay.
Because it is a variable. So I guess it would be something to consider that, you know, this lessens the animal unit months, AUM, that the land can carry. And I believe that's why this initiative was brought in, because this has helped determine, you know, the carrying capacity of these lands, so for livestock grazing.
So would it behoove us to work with, like the EDC is doing healthy soils programs, would it benefit everybody to take properties that are like this and try to work through the landowner and EDC to improve soils qualities to meet Williamson? Is that a potential?
I don't know if we would. So county guidelines say we're going to use the NRCS web soil survey to get our calculations. So I don't know where we would get the information that those soils have been improved. I don't know that they would be updated in that mapping, so that would be something to consider. At what cost would that be to landowners to get that verified? I mean, how would we find out if their soils have been improved to meet these standards?
Okay.
Just a follow-up on the water being deprived when it's not nature and it's man because it's by regulation. I thought we dialogued a little bit about that and how it would affect the Williamson Act. And I mean, if it's being deprived of water for by curtailment, that isn't the landowner's fault. I mean, how do we deal with that?
We have not had this issue come up to where it's been by curtailment. So what we're looking at now, for example, Mr. Breen's, is not curtailment.
Okay.
Like, we calculated it in, so you would have to, I guess, direct me on how you would
And I guess where I'm concerned is with AB 263 potentially being law and having curtailments, I guess, permanent or in effect until there was permanent flow regime. I mean, we got to take a look at how that's going to be. I mean, we've gone through your department's gone through a huge exercise of splitting up these contracts so they're by land ownership. I don't want to redo it. Is I guess where I'm going because of a curtailment order.
So your direction to me, what I'm working on is multi-owner contracts. So right now we're just reaching out to those
Correct.
Landowners to work on those. I have not felt that I've received direction from you to look at any contracts in any other way.
Okay.
So we're only evaluating multi-owner contracts that we find to be an issue. So I'm
good with that.
Yeah,
I don't want to give you direction to do anything else.
I'm staying in my box.
All right.
Great answer, Bernadette.
You're going to be employed forever.
This has been painstaking for everybody, including the landowner. So.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a motion. We have a question.
We have a question.
I didn't hear a motion.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought
no.
It was a motion.
No.
Okay, no. We have another question. Discussion. We have another question.
Two questions. First, I haven't seen Mr. Frieden's letter.
Got extras.
Well, I'd like to see this before
we
move on here.
No worries. Flips off of it.
And the second one is you, Bernadette. What I'm having a hard time with this not having enough acres in cultivation kind of thing is that when we looked at, I pulled up the one, I think it was B we took a look at earlier. You can't convince me that any of that is class 1 or 2 land.
No, it's because of the large amount of acreage. So are you talking about the Langford?
No, it was. What was B? It looks all to be timber. Sparse timber. Those aren't ag soil.
Right, so it's the equivalent. So you can have the only land that has a zero equivalent is water, and then we might get up to like a rocky, hill or something like that that might qualify as an 8, which has no ag equivalent. And so, but when we have thousands of acres, we'll meet that 40 requirement.
But this one's just one subject property.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one it is. If I knew, I could look at the chart.
It's Langford.
Is it Langford?
Yeah. 690 acres, but it's all. Looks to be no different than what Mr. Green is dealing with.
Right, because they have 690 acres, so it's 220 acres class 1 or 2 equivalent soils.
We did that?
It got to 220.
Yeah, I don't see it on the map.
Yeah, so it's so basically the whole of the property is calculated in. So it's not that it has like an area of prime ag soils. It's just if it's equivalent to. So it could have a very large area of poor soils that's just dry land, grazing potential use. But because of the large amount of acreage, we can meet that 40 acre minimum. Because it's just an equivalent.
Oh.
is, if you look at that chart, that's kind of helpful because it does have the NRCS actual mapping attached.
Yeah, I don't trust that anyway. Go ahead. That stuff is wildly inaccurate.
Where are you headed?
I'm just looking for consistency.
Yeah.
You know, and go ahead. Let me read this letter here.
Well, we're just waiting for the motion, so read away.
Well, I'll make the recommended motion.
Okay. Give me 1 second.
And that's staff's recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I personally would like to see this one put off to try to work through it. I mean, it's very clearly agricultural property. It's surrounded by production. Seems to be plenty good for dryland grazing. It would be my opinion. I think we should hold off on this one and see if staff can work through it.
In my mind, the staff has worked through it. That's why it's come this far, and Vernon's been working on these. And I don't want to change the rules midstream here.
Yeah, what's the specific question? What do you want to work through?
Well, I kind of found the same sentiment as Supervisor Hoff. I don't think running off an NRCS map is quite sufficient for this. I think that if we run into something like this where it's actually contestable, I think that we should have soil sampling and actually evaluate it thoroughly so that we're not, you know, unfairly throwing Mr. Frieden under the bus here. It's the whole design is for agricultural property. This is very clearly under agricultural property. All of pretty much Orofino Road has been that way for a long, long time. If this was a 5-10 acre parcel.
I don't disagree with you. First of all, it is all ag. We're not talking commercial or any of that. So I've always had trouble with the Williams Act per se. But I've been going along with this. This is, to me, one of these things. Now we're trying to bend the rules. To me, they don't meet the criteria at this moment in time. If we were talking 1,000 acre parcel, that's a different story. So I'm trying to balance it with not only what they're dealing with, but what we're dealing with on this side. Remember, we're giving them a break to be in operation under the rules that we're doing. We've had a lot of non-players, which is why we're going through this exercise, staking. So I still stand by the motion.
I'll second it.
I want to hear from the supervisor in that district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, So the motion is to deny the application.
Basically, yeah, we would not be approved, and because it doesn't meet requirements, we would initiate the non-renewal process. Yeah.
Oh, this is for non-renewal?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Yes. Yeah.
Back up.
I guess.
Just real quick, if you don't mind, the non-renewal process. So basically, if you go with the recommended motion, the non-renewal will be initiated. Now they can appeal that. We would have that recorded, and it would become effective January 1st, 2026. They do have time to, appeal that, and then that is a 9-year rollout period. The taxes incrementally increase over the next 9 years until the end of that period. They're to a normal tax rate. And I would like to remind you that the tax reduction is only on the land, it's not on the improvements. So there is a home on this property as well. So that should be reflected in the assessor's evaluation that they did attach to this.
But the property owner requested this.
The property owner requested a separate contract. So we ran an evaluation to see if it qualified.
So my concern going forward is this. We've instituted the process countywide where the owner and the parcel match. Basically, we do a title search, etc. But as I watch these families break up and divide parcels up, what was once a Williamson Act is now no longer going to qualify. And that's not healthy long-term for the ag industry in this county, because we're going to end up disqualifying what has historically been ag because of the process. So, and I know that to be the case with this particular property. That's why I'm not going to support the recommended motion today.
So what happens if we don't? So he's applied for for his own contract.
So I would ask that we continue it so I can, if the the other option would be to approve his request and you would approve the contract and I can bring that back the next meeting. I prepared the staff report for a non-renewal as it didn't meet the requirements. So I would need time to prepare a contract with Mr. Green and bring that back with a new resolution.
So we have options.
So presently we have a motion and a second.
Yes, at the moment we do. For the recommended, which is the issue non-renewal.
I take my second back.
So you're withdrawing.
I'm withdrawing.
So we have a motion. One other thing I should mention is that when we evaluate these, we evaluate them not only for a Williams Neck contract, but an agricultural preserve. So that's the first layer that we look at. We're trying to fix all of these issues. Again, this isn't an ag preserve that is non-contiguous, not property owners related, owned in common. So we would also want to address that issue. It's not 100 acres. And an ag preserve, according to county guidelines, I believe state legislation is 100 acres. So that's an additional issue that we didn't look at, because when we got to a point where it didn't meet the contract, it was a recommended.
I understand all that. So I guess what I'd like to see is I'd like to see what's changed from what this was versus what we're proposing before we move forward with this.
Would you like me to go over that right now? I have the original contract.
Okay.
Yeah, so the original contract was issued to the Freedons. It was recorded in 1971, and it was 5,894.3 acres. Mm-hmm. So over the years, portions of that ranch have been sold to different property owners, each of which was notified that they need to apply for a separate contract. So every property owner, should they want to remain under Williams Neck, and then we have been processing those individually as they come through. So what has changed is simply ownership.
Was that the other family members that was sold to, or was it?
No,
sold?
So it's this particular one is now owned by Collinberg, owns a large portion of it. JFAM owns a portion of it. And sorry, I have a map.
Are they under Williams Neck?
Yep, they're all still under that
okay.
contract.
Yep.
So we're working with them. So we have JFAM and Hale, Munson, and we're working with the Plank family, all on their own separate contracts. Mr. Collinberg, I've been in contact with him recently. So yes, we're working with all of them on getting their own contract. And so far, each looks to that it's going to qualify as we were doing the research on.
If you're looking for a second.
So it looks like there's no second, so the motion dies. And Bernadette, your request was that the board consider a motion to reopen the hearing and continue it to a future date so that you could prepare another staff report. Is that correct?
That's correct. So if I could get some direction, if we're leaning towards approving, then I can prepare the resolution accordingly.
So perhaps you could prepare a staff report that sets forth
both options.
Options.
Okay, I can do that.
I'd like to see consistency with some of the other Williams Line contracts that we've gone through that, like I brought up, don't qualify the soils. And I know you said it's an acreage thing. Mm-hmm. I guess that doesn't sit very well with me. For example, if you have 10,000 acres and if it's not under ag production, it still qualifies?
No, it needs to meet. So what we evaluate for is use. So within the county guidelines.
So it's grazing.
So they let us know like which portions of it are just open space or designated for residential areas. So we make sure that at least when it's just rangeland or not a concentrated use, that at least 60% of the property is under the commercial ag use. And then we evaluate, make sure the parcels meet the 40-acre requirement and then the soils. So as a whole.
And what's defined as a commercial ag use?
So those in the county guidelines, we have a great long list of different things that qualify for commercial ag use. But mostly what we see in our county is concentrated farming, like the strawberry farms, a lot of hay production, and then grazing. We have rangeland grazing, and then we have pasture grazing. But that's primarily what we'll see.
When you put your staff report together, could you address that regarding this property?
The area that's utilized, the percentage?
And because there's two distinct areas here, as I look at the photo, here you've got the piece adjacent to the road that maybe could be cultivated if somebody really wanted to hammer it with water and fertilizer, and then you can get the upland piece that could be grazed.
Okay.
A motion to reopen the hearing and continue it to the first meeting in September. Would that be sufficient,
Brenda?
Yeah. Can I amend that motion to make it to the second meeting in September?
Part of the motion is to reopen this hearing.
And if the chair would like to, the chair could just direct now to reopen the hearing and then motion to continue the hearing to the second meeting in September.
So you're going to reopen the hearing?
We're going to reopen the hearing.
Okay, and then we have Supervisor Haupt to make my notes here. Hang on. Continue the public hearing to first meeting in September.
Second, I thought I heard.
The second is adopted budget, but
second.
They don't tend to be terribly long, so.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
So we can make it the second if that's more amenable to everybody.
The second meeting? Does the motion maker agree?
Yes.
Thank you. So the second meeting in September, and do we have a second?
I'll second.
And Bernadette has been directed to what to bring back in the way of a staff report and motion and all that.
Options.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
Aye.
And Supervisor Oak.
Aye.
Okay.
Moving on to Jay. For Martin.
So we're continuing now.
We have to open the hearing.
Yes.
I got it. And we are going to reschedule this.
OK. Continue.
I had it.
Did you want this also to go as a second?
We could probably do that just to keep it all.
Open the hearing and continue it to the second September meeting.
Right.
Okay. And I don't think we need a motion for that, though, correct?
That was going to be my question.
I would make a motion.
Let's make a motion.
Okay.
I'll make the motion.
Yeah. Second.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobstead?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakland?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, now, with all of that said, then thank you, Bernadette.
Thank you.
That was only a little bit. We are going to jump back to so we're going to recess as the Board of Supervisors, convene as Flood Control and Water Conservation District, and hear public comment in the room. Any online?
Showing none online.
We are going to hear